You've heard about baseball, potential baseball's plan to playing in Arizona. Obviously get all the teams out there. When you heard that, first of all, what were your thoughts? Were you like, oh, it can't work, or were you open to the idea?
Well, first off, I think it's really important that, and it's necessary that they continue to have contingency conversations.
Right.
Plans for whenever they get the go sign for baseball as they move forward. Because at some point, there is going to be a go sign, and they have to be ready for that. And I started to hear rumblings of this at the end of last week about playing in empty stadiums. Jeff Passan, my colleague at ESPN, reported the details the other day, I immediately had a billion questions about the efficacy of it and whether or not there was any chance. I mean, first off, the idea that you were going to ask players to live for 4.5 months in a biodome, mm-hmm. forget it. And also, I my big thing was, too, there was a reference in there to, health experts, national or federal health experts, assuring baseball people that they felt like that they could be safe in doing this. And my initial question was, and I don't mean this politically at all, okay, who are those experts and what have they been saying for the last 3 months? Because the one thing that we've learned about this is that it really feels like that health experts are struggling for answers and struggling for the right thing to do. The best example of that recently is the use of masks, where, 6 weeks ago they were saying the masks wouldn't help, and now they're encouraging you to wear them. So, that was certainly one of the first things, and I knew right away that there would be players who privately would say, I'm not doing that. And that's the feedback that I got right after it came out. And there are about 15,000 other questions that I had.
Buster, it sounds like then your answer to would players buy in is no. I mean, what would it take to get players to buy into this?
Well, and it's really interesting because I think that a lot of this stuff was initiated on the player's side, because there are agents who sort of behind the scenes are like, you know what, we got to get going. How about playing in empty ballparks? And we know this. I mean, it would be a TV product that people are starving for, and the ratings would be really high. But, I mean, think about if you're – and I'm – I've had players that in mind when I've said this, but I don't want to use their names. It wouldn't be fair. But imagine if you're a player and you've made $100 million or $200 million in your career, and the proposal that you have on the table is, we're going to – pull you away from your family, you're going to live in a quarantined area for 4.5 months, and we believe you're going to be healthy, but we're not completely sure that you're going to be healthy. How about that? Because I think there would be a lot of players, I know this, it'd be players say, forget that, and let's flip it around to the younger players. You're making, minimum wage, you're close to minimum wage in Major League Baseball. You're going to lose a lot of the season, so after taxes, you're going to, clear $100,000, and we can't guarantee that you're healthy. Are you going to necessarily sign up for that? I tweeted out over the weekend when some of this came out, that my first question as a player was, if players are going to be expected to live in this biodome, are owners as well?
Yeah.
And which should tell you, and you know that the owners wouldn't go along with that because they don't know if they're going to be able to remain healthy, and they don't know if being in a group of 1,500 to 2,000 people in hotels actually puts them at greater risk than protects them. And so, I think there are so many obstacles to this happening. I think it's more likely if something happens, it's only going to be when events start to turn against the virus.
Buster, one of my biggest questions, one of my biggest fears in this, and it exists in baseball and the NHL, maybe more so than other sports, is what about the travel of getting the players to this spot? I mean, you got players coming from multiple countries that are affected. You got players coming from multiple states that are affected. How much of a risk is there in just all that travel just to get to Arizona?
100%. It's funny you say that, Brady, because earlier today I was having a conversation with a high-ranking team executive, and he said that, the whole... Like, for the NBA to do stuff, because you only have, 12 to 15 players, you have fewer staff, they can go out and basically, hey, let's go find a high school gym, work out, and we'll be ready to go, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in baseball, it's much more complicated. There are much more people involved. Do you do it outside? Do you do it inside? Is there a hot spot? All those things, it's much more difficult for baseball to come together, and they're going to need a legitimate spring training. Let's say that baseball doesn't start until July. They're going to need a legitimate 3 to 4 weeks at that time, even though there's going to be a push for them to get back to work. Practical reality is they're going to have to ramp up the pitchers again.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com, with us every week, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. And Buster, I was looking at stuff yesterday. I forget which countries it was, but I think it was, I might have been Colombia, but I don't want to be too wrong on that, that there are countries entirely that have travel restrictions that might not even let players out potentially to even come back.
100%. Now, to be clear, some players are still here.
Yeah.
Right? Some players that are coming from overseas never left because, you know, the spring training was on lockdown, and then they stayed in place because no one really had answers, and they still don't have answers about when they're going to come back. So not everyone is left, but, you know, we heard about Masahiro Tanaka leaving. We heard about, there were a couple players from Korea that I saw have left. There's no doubt that, as this executive said to me, you probably are going to need at least a week just to get players back before you start that second spring training.
Wow. You know, Buster, interesting thing I saw today. I don't know if you could answer this question. I saw that Wimbledon's been paying $2 million a year for the last 17 years for insurance in case it ever couldn't go on. Well, now the Bills do. It's $141 million they're going to receive because now they can't put it on. Does the baseball owners have insurance? I got to assume they have insurance, don't they?
I don't know. I mean, they may have insurance to cover some things, but yeah. I can't imagine that they have insurance to cover their whole business. I heard recently, and I'm not going to use the name of the team. It's not fair. Secondhand information, but there's a team of means that's expecting to lose, if they lose the season, over $150 million.
Wow.
I think that it's important. I've been writing about this the last couple of weeks. I think we touched on this last week, and I think it's important to say over and over and over again that the landscape, in all likelihood, that's the financial landscape for baseball when it returns is going to be so much different than it was before. And the best working example, we did touch on this last week, the 95 Expos. After the players' strike, there was a settlement, and the Expos dumped Larry Walker. They traded John Wetland. A couple years later, they trade Pedro Martinez because the owners anticipated and were trying to offset financial losses. The official that I talked to today agreed with my comparison that when baseball gets the go sign, that it's okay to come back, that it's going to be like 9:30 on the stock market where the bell goes off and you're going to see a bunch of players move because teams are going to be looking to offset some of those financial losses. They're going to be looking to dump contracts like hot stocks where they're just trying to salvage some kind of money because they're anticipating that this is going to be, for lack of a better way to describe it, a financial disaster for the sport.
Buster, how much of this involves political pressure to get back? I mean, we talked about that a little bit yesterday.
Right.
It's certainly potentially relevant in all of this.
Yeah, and I can, you know, draw on my experience back in at covering the Yankees after 9/11 for the New York Times. That, you know, the event happens, and I'm in Yankee Stadium a couple days later, and players are privately saying, we need to bag this season. You know, what are we doing here? But there was immediately encouragement/pressure from the White House, play. We need you to play. President Bush, who, of course, had been an owner of the Texas Rangers, encouraging baseball and other sports to play because he wanted to get everybody back to a sense of normalcy. And, you know, we saw the following week when the Mets returned and Mike Piazza hit that memorable home run and the Yankees returned and then all sports returned. The World Series that year, that had a healing effect. And people who were working at the Ground Zero site talked about how helpful it was for them just for a few minutes every night to have the distraction of the Yankee games. And so when I saw that, you know, President Trump held that conference call with commissioners last Saturday, you did feel that pressure. But there's one enormous difference between that, you know, after 9/11 and what's going on now is you can't assure the athletes that they are going to remain healthy. Like back then, I remember being on the Yankees team flight for their first games after 9/11 going to Chicago. And, of course, there's nobody in the sky. There was a national air shutdown at the World Series that year. You had snipers on the roof. You had 1,000 cops out in the street. I had, you know, Fred Friends from Vermont call, "Are you going to be okay?" And I was like, "I'm like in the safest place on earth." But yeah. Now, if players come back, nobody knows if they can stay healthy because this, you know, this opponent, this enemy is invisible.
Buster, would this have to, we keep hearing about being quarantined for 4.5 months. I mean, that's pretty much the whole season. Would they do this the entire season, or is there a hope that at some point you could get back to your home cities?
Well, first off, yeah, and absolutely. And we always have to remember, I think, too, that, you know, these events are dictated by the dictates coming down from the state and the cities and at the federal level. And you're right. The hope would be that they would start doing that at some point if they opened up particular cities, then they could get back. But you guys saw that the comments made by the governor of California, for example, yeah. The other day, when he expressed doubt about whether or not there'd be football, NFL played this fall in his state, based on the progress of the coronavirus, and just in general, just to clarify about where people saw it. After that story came out yesterday, there were a lot of people in baseball probably were like, "Yeah, that's never happening."
Wow.
Like their feeling was, "Boy, if we could get baseball back at the All-Star break this year, that would be a gift from the gods." They feel like at the earliest baseball would return in July, a lot of the people you talk to. And some people are talking about the possibility that it doesn't come back at all because of the, sort of the rolling effects of the coronavirus.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales at Peterville to Vermont. Here on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. We were talking yesterday with Tom Caron of Nesson, and he had an interesting takeaway that whenever baseball comes back, he wonders if you'll see the broadcasters calling games remotely and not being at the actual stadium and watching it on a monitor someplace. Do you think that could actually happen?
Wouldn't surprise me. If they did go with the biodome thing and keep everybody quarantined, they would want to limit that to as few as people as possible. And we're seeing, all these shows on CNN and MSNBC and on Fox, all these news, all the radio broadcasts. I know on ESPN, there's so much work being done remotely because of concern about the coronavirus, and so it wouldn't shock me if they asked broadcasters to do that.
You mentioned all the changes and how baseball will never be the same the way it used to be or the way we watched it. People's jobs maybe and stuff like that. A lot of things change. I mean, we won't even maybe see as many reporters as you, Buster. That's crazy, you know?
I agree. It's heartbreaking. I'm sure you guys have seen, among the jobs that have been lost, there's so many websites that are being shut down and people, talking about furloughs. And it's a huge concern. And I do think that, whenever baseball does come back, that you probably, at least initially, will see fewer reporters covering it or maybe covering the first game and then leaving just because of the devastating financial losses that are hitting everybody in the country.
Wow. Buster, Chris Sale's been in the news a lot the last 2 months through all of this craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, what about his comments yesterday? Wondering, I mean, they pegged it as pneumonia, but I remember he was saying he felt absolutely as awful as a human being could feel for a while, saying that he might have coronavirus. I mean, did you find that kind of interesting?
I did, because I was among the reporters who were at down in Fort Myers when he spoke the first time, and I remember him talking about how terrible he felt and how much weight he lost. And this is not someone who can lose weight. Right? His hips are about 6 inches wide, and he was making fun of that. But he talked about how just awful he felt, and you heard that from the Red Sox. He wasn't even going to camp. And I'm sure you guys have read the news about how there's a – there's a belief that a lot of people have been walking around with the coronavirus without demonstrating any symptoms. And he actually had some. And moving forward, I think they're going to be doing testing on people to see if they have coronavirus antibodies and if those can be of some use to other people. And I'm sure that that's, you know, something that Chris has been kicking around. He's been going through his medical stuff.
Well, Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. We asked you a question like this last week, kind of a different question on it this week. If they are looking to play baseball in this biosphere bubble in Arizona, and if that ever came to fruition, what happens to minor league baseball? Not even just the Lake Monsters. What happens to minor league baseball? Do they not have it at all? Is it all played on the backfields at the same complex? How do you handle minors?
No, I think the entire focus, the initial focus, would all be being a major league product. I can't imagine that they would, until there was a lot more certainty about how to handle the virus, I can't imagine that they would open that up because they're, you know, they're big money makers at the major league level. You know, that's unbelievably complicated when you're talking about 50 people for each team in a traveling party, 1,500 to 2,000 people. If you start drawing in minor league teams, yeah, I mean that would be such an enormous number of people and add to the layer of complication. So I think on the front burner right now are the question about what they can do at the big league level and how many games they can get in the big leagues. And then anything involving the minor leagues at this point, I think they feel like would be a cherry on top.
Wow. Yeah. By the way, Tom Brady was on Howard Stern. I could see Buster only on Howard Stern, 2-hour interview. How about that, Buster, huh?
You know, it's fun. Like, back in the day, I remember getting a call from their producers, and this is when I was at the New York Times, and I'm like, yeah, that's a no-win situation for me.
Can you imagine?
I don't even know if I returned the call, because I probably was afraid to look at the phone number. This is, you know, Howard Stern back in 99 and 2000, not the savvy interviewer that we have today.
Oh, that would have been great. He's Buster Hold, the ESPN MLB. Thanks to Lucky Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, you're the best. We appreciate it. We'll speak to you next week.
See you guys.